Thanks so much for joining us for the latest episode of Taking the Complex and Making It Simple, the Merlin Wealth Management Educational Podcast. Join us as Michael Merlin, founder of Merlin Wealth Management, and various friends and experts break down complicated financial topics to make them easy to understand. If you'd like more information about Merlin Wealth Management, please visit our website at rcm.rocco.com/Merlin. And with that, here's founder of Merlin Wealth Management and private wealth advisor at Rockefeller Capital Management, Michael Merlin.
Thanks, Tom, and welcome everyone to our first podcast of 2024. Today's topic is family office services. We have a full slate of guests today, which I love. We've got April Gay and Emery Bourne from the MWM Family Office Relationship Management Team. And we are extremely lucky to have my good friend, Rebecca Minio, who is the head of family office services for Rockefeller Global Family Office. But before we get to that conversation, I just want to take a step back because we have been talking about family office services now for a while. And I realize that not everybody understands the differences between what a family office is and how it differs from traditional wealth management. And so Rebecca will go into a lot more detail about the history of the Rockefeller Global Family Office and how it evolved over time. But I think the evolution of Merlin Wealth Management into a version of a multifamily office over all these years is, I think, a good example of how family office services and family offices in general have evolved in our industry. And so I was going to run through that real quick before we get started. So 25 years ago, when I started in wealth management, a lot of the listeners on here were with me back then. The majority of our clients were in what I would call wealth creation mode. And what does that mean? It means they were working, they were running businesses, they were growing enterprises, they were starting businesses, and their singular focus was to try to earn, grow their businesses, and save, and put in stocks of money away, you know, best they could, whether it was for just ultimate retirement savings, for kids' educations, for buying homes, whatever the needs were. The main focus was on running the enterprise, and the secondary focus was on the financial planning side of it, if you will. And our job at that time was to provide, you know, really solid investment management advice, solid implementation, update financial and cash flow plans, education plans, things like that. And then, you know, occasionally we were providing some simple estate and tax planning strategies. So, you know, maybe someone needed to set up, update a will or set up a revocable trust, or they needed some advice about how to save money for college for their kid, whether it was a trust or a 529. Those were the kind of things we were doing. So if you fast forward several decades, many of these same client families were now in a different position, meaning that they were now either selling their businesses, they were selling a stake in their businesses, some were taking their businesses public. And in any and all of these cases, they were monetizing a significant portion of what was an illiquid asset, the business. And so that liquidity created a lot more wealth and took scale to a totally different level. And when that scale changed, we had to evolve alongside of our clients to be able to provide a different level of advice and services based on that evolution. And so, you know, we still have, as hopefully everybody knows, we still have world-class traditional wealth management for our clients who are still in that emerging phase, still in that wealth creation phase or wealth accumulation phase. But we also transitioned a significant part of the business into being what I consider to be a multifamily office. And in that case, what we are providing are services that, you know, I believe are extremely useful for clients who are now in a second or a different phase of wealth creation. So you've had this liquidity event, you've sold a business, and now it's more about planning. It's more about need. You know, we've had clients come to us and say, "Wait a second, you know, I used to have a CFO that helped me with my personal taxes, or a controller. I had an assistant who helped me plan trips and do this and that and the other, and now I don't have any of that anymore. So what do I do?" And so that's sort of what family offices were originally created for. Rebecca will talk a little bit about our history. John D. Rockefeller essentially created the very first family office because he also saw that, you know, right after running his business, he realized that the complexities of his own personal financial life were such where he needed specific advisors and he needed specific services. And so, you know, we're going to talk more about what those services are. This is going to be a two-part podcast. This is the first time we've done a two-parter. So today we're really going to talk more just about the evolution of these services and what they are. And then in part two, we're going to share some client examples where Rebecca and I will talk a little bit about situations where we've seen family office services work effectively for different families. And in that part, Emery and April are going to take over as the moderators. And so I'm sure they'll love, you know, putting me on the hot seat for a change. So without further ado, I want to welcome Rebecca Minio, as I said, head of our family office services. Rebecca, it's great to have you here.
Thank you, Michael. Excited to be speaking to you all and your listeners today about our family office and, you know, really what we can provide everyone.
Awesome. And April and Emery, say hi, since everyone loves to hear your voices too. So unmute yourselves and say hi.
Hi, Rebecca. Happy to be here.
Hi, Rebecca. So grateful to you for joining our podcast. Thank you.
So Rebecca, you know, you have a unique place. You're like our first two-part series guest. So this is an exciting moment for the Taking the Complex and Making It Simple podcast as well. So let's dive right in. So I teased in the opener that you were going to spend some time discussing the history of the Rockefeller Family Office and how it evolved into the service model that we're able to offer clients today. So why don't we do that to kick it off?
Perfect. Happy to. So really, like many of us, be it Michael, April, Emery, or myself, we were all really drawn to the name Rockefeller and the dynastic legacy that they have. We are the family office, as Michael mentioned at the top, to John D. Rockefeller. When he began to amass all of his wealth from Standard Oil back in 1882, he looked around at the landscape and he knew that he needed more than what he was just getting from his traditional bank. So with that in mind, John decided that he was going to found the first family office, which is how we are the oldest family office in North America. We reimagined a single family office in the late 1970s, which is when we became a multifamily office. The reason that we converted into this is really due to the fact that the Friends wanted to invest alongside the Rockefeller family. Shortly after becoming the multifamily office in the 70s, we quickly converted into a registered investment advisory firm. And we really remained as such until 2018, which is when I'm sure your clients are really familiar with this piece of our legacy. But in 2018, Greg Fleming and other senior leaders were looking around at the financial services space and knew that they wanted to create a boutique firm that really catered to high net worth, ultra high net worth families like those listening to the podcast. They aligned with the Rockefeller family. And in March of 2018, Rockefeller Capital Management was created. My business line and area of focus are family office capabilities, and they've really been designed to meet a wide range of clients that bring peace of mind to them and their families, whether it's bill pay, tax prep, or holistic planning. For any client that needs these services, they really are crucial. And they provide so much value, not just to your clients listening, but also to you all, right? And we work in tandem with one another. So really the beauty of our offering, it's meant to serve someone with 2 million all the way up to 2 billion. And we did this with the intention and simple fact that we want our clients to grow with us. And we've set this up so they can't outgrow us.
That's really interesting, Rebecca, that you ended on that last comment, because, you know, I remember when I met Michael 10 years ago, we talked about being able to have clients and do everything for them, right? And that's what we wanted to be in the business of, and that's what we were here for. So fast forward to now, you know, what does that really mean, you know? So I'd love to hear more from you about what those family office services entail and what the specifics are. I know, you know, one thing that that typically comes up for us is around tax prep and tax payments. That's one thing that can kind of be a challenging item for clients. And it's something that we've seen, you know, as over time, as, you know, families are going through these evolutions and things get more complicated. There's more entities to deal with. There's more things to keep up with. There's more investments involved, right? We've noticed that clients have really needed more of our help in handling all of this. And so this is one of those areas where I would say it's really exciting that we're able to leverage the Rockefeller history and the, you know, the systems and services that you guys already have to be able to evolve with our clients and offer a service like this. I know we've talked a lot with our clients about paying taxes electronically and making sure things are done securely, because again, like, things are evolving in that regard too. So we're able to kind of help and guide clients on the best way to do things. Can you tell us a little bit about how your team handles tax payments for clients?
Yeah, it's a great question, April. And again, it's really all of our services lean into our legacy, right? So what did we do for the Rockefeller family back when they were a single family office? How did they like to interact with our family office team way back then? And let's keep that culture and that same level of service to all of our clients that are engaging with our services, tax prep being one of them. So really, you know, Our tax prep service, you know, many of our private advisors, they help clients with tax prep, just like you said, right? We're helping them gather data, we're making the tax payments. We, you know, our team has structured our service to act as a liaison, right, between who the end preparer is, be it our preferred partner, or maybe it's somebody that is local, right, that has been in your client's life for years, decades even. And so really our team is set up to be a tax liaison. They can get on the phone, they can talk to your clients, provide strategy, advice, and guidance, because they are a team of CPAs, right? They have been doing all of this tax work for the Rockefeller family for decades. And so they've seen a lot. They are, you know, very open to any problems that our clients present, because 9 times out of 10, we've seen it before, and we've seen it quite a few times just working with such a dynastic family. So to circle back and really answer your question, it's the tax liaisons, it's being present, being available to talk with your clients, provide that strategy, and be more proactive as opposed to reactive. And then, of course, to answer your question on tax payments, yes, our teams that are engaged with our services, they have their payments made online. It's more timely. It reduces risks. And those risks are often when, you know, the K-1s come in at the 11th hour and we're trying to cut checks, we're trying to attach vouchers to it. And then, you know, it's not getting to the IRS on time. And then we have to deal with penalties. So the more we can be efficient and operate online, the better it is. And so that's the approach that we've taken here within the family office.
I love the fact that, you talked about the fact that the tax counselors work directly with, in many cases, can work directly with the present CPA. So the client doesn't have to think about necessarily changing CPAs. They can work in concert with our tax advisory team. Not that, I mean, we obviously can help a client if they want to change the CPA as well, but it's nice that there's an option where they can also work in tandem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that you talked about the services being proactive. So it's not a situation where, you know, someone's sitting back and waiting for the client to reach out to them. There's a proactive reach out to clients to engage in this topic. So I think that's great.
Yeah. And also, Rebecca, in our client service offering, in addition to making tax payments for our clients, sometimes we find ourselves having to pay an occasional insurance premium or a legal bill or CPA invoice. And I know that the family office services also offers a bill pay service. that can provide a more comprehensive solution to just clients having to pay their own bills and manage their own checkbooks. And I was wondering, can you explain a little bit more in depth about our bill pay services and how they handle our clients' expenses?
Yeah, absolutely. Another great question. So we provide oversight and monitoring of accounts and bill payments that come into us. So a lot of times clients who maybe haven't had these services before, but their bills are starting to mount and their lives are getting more complex, they're on the go. They're thinking about how can I offload this, but what does it really mean with the bill payment system that I've either set up through my bank or, you know, I'm paying a bookkeeper, right? How does it compare? So in terms of what we provide, it is a white glove approach where you get a dedicated bill concierge associate who is coordinating with you all that are on this call, so the Merlin Wealth Management team, as well as the client in terms of, hey, do we have all of the different vendors that we're supposed to make bill payments for? Is it, you know, is it a bill where it's coming in on a monthly cadence and we've noticed, hey, maybe it's 200% higher than the last month. We're not going to pay that bill, right? Because we're going to reach out to you all or the client, understand, hey, your water bill was 200% higher. Is everything okay? Is there a leak in the home? Yes, that actually does happen. So that's a real example. And until you or your client say that, yes, this is okay to pay, when we see something like that, you know, we're not going to pay it, right? And it's that oversight and protection that you're really getting from our team. So that's one area that I think takes it a step further than maybe what clients are traditionally used to. The other area, which your clients will be familiar with this, they can't send their mail to you as much as they want to, and as much as you guys would love to collect their bills. I'm winking. I know it's a podcast, and no one can see me.
But I'm shaking my head. No one can see me either.
But you can send your actual bills to our Saratoga Springs office. That is where a majority of our bill pay team sits. They will collect the mail, they'll scan it in, they'll upload it to a secure folder. So that way you or the team can pull those invoices at a moment's notice, and then they'll just make those bill payments, you know, again, per the client's instructions. So it's really, it's very comprehensive. It's a nice institutional approach that we've been providing to the family, again, for years. So a lot of clients find so much value in it, especially if they're, you know, building a new home or they're constantly on the go. The last piece I'll say on bill payment is, you know, we also review credit card transactions, which is massively helpful because number one, who really wants to go through their credit card transactions, code them to a specific format in the sense of, you know, this is meals, this is restaurants, this is, you know, miscellaneous. That's not something that, you know, a lot of clients find value add in. It's just another chore, which our team can take over and we can provide with that credit card information along with the bills that we're paying, really comprehensive reports. So that information then becomes super valuable to you all and your clients to make budgeting decisions or understanding cash flow needs.
I think the key point here is that, you know, our clients would have, in addition to our team, they'd have a designated representative that works one-on-one. And so it's not like they'd be calling into a call center, getting a different person every time that they'd have to kind of explain their situation. I mean, you know, the person, the people on your bill service team will really be, you know, very familiar with each individual client and their situation. So, you know, again, if all of a sudden a bill comes through that's not something that they're familiar with, it's not a regular payee, I think it would jump out to them. And you know, I think it's just really important to highlight the designated representative. It's so important.
I agree with you, Emery. And I also think that, you know, having the designated person is great, that we still also get to be involved and touch base and we know what's going on. And I also really like the white glove approach, because when you actually describe that in detail, your example about, you know, finding like a water bill that's like, you know, an egregious amount or something like that. Like there's thought involved, like there's some humanity behind it, right? Like you're not, there's not just people pushing buttons, right? Like we're thinking about our clients and what's best for them. So I think that really, that matches the type of service that we want to provide to our clients that we provide. So it's a great partnership for us.
I think all of this is a wonderful example of, you know, what one of the, I met with a prospective client yesterday, and I said, you know, you can analogize your life, your financial life, to a business, right? So it's the Smith Family Inc., right? And what do you want to, just like if you were the CEO of a company, I mean, I remember talking to CFOs or CEOs who always said, I had a dashboard, I had the information that was always pushed to me so that I could make good decisions about how to run the business. And I think our clients, when they get to this level of complexity, this level of wealth, that they need to think about it the same way, right? It's like, I run my family as a business, our financial side as a business. What information can be pushed to me so that I can make better decisions, right? And what are some things that I shouldn't be doing with my time that's much more impactful, effective, and better executed by someone else doing it, right? And so you've just given two great examples of A, situations where it probably is in the client's best interest for a more seasonally trained professional to do those tasks, whether it's tax prep, tax payments, whether it's the bill pay function, the way that you guys just described it. You know, that's great to say someone more experienced and someone who's going to have a maybe more of an eye on details is going to run this for me and maybe come up with things that I might miss. That's A. B, I think it's amazing that the client then gets a concise report that then helps them make decisions about spending categories, spending levels, what on the tax side, you know, to make sure that, as April said, all the entities have all been paid, and you know, whether those are estimates or whether those are final tax bills, and to have a good organizational structure around that, you know, is I think, again, at the beginning, at the outset, we said there's a significant difference between some of the service provided in a traditional wealth management relationship and the enhanced level of service you get if you're a part of a multifamily office. And I think this is a great example, two great examples really of how that works. So before we get off of that topic, which is, you know, really looking at yourself as, you know, the Smith Family Inc. and what other things might you want to help drive your decision making and how you manage your finances inside of that, all that complexity. I wanted to talk about a couple of other services that the family office provides. And these are a little bit more esoteric, and I know we're going to get into some specific examples in part two, and so we can keep this relatively high level. But the things I was thinking about were, A, before we leave the expense payment side of the world, I also know that we offer some enhanced reporting. So maybe connecting all of these things together and saying, okay, we've got income and investment information over here on the left, because these are clients of Merlin Wealth Management, clients of Rockefeller. We know where the assets are invested. We understand the income side. And now we're also understanding the expense side. So the ability to prepare income statements, balance sheets, et cetera, would seem to also naturally come into play there. Is that correct, Rebecca?
Yeah, absolutely. We provide that, and it's critical. It's really critical to clients that want to understand, how is everything at Rockefeller connected? How am I really spending my money? But is it being offset by all the gains that, you know, your portfolios are providing and returns are providing to clients? So, you know, it's super value add, and it's so complementary to all the performance reporting that you all provide to your clients on a quarterly basis. So they go hand in hand with one another.
Yeah, I mean, I one of the things that I don't know why the light bulb, you know, kind of went off, but, you know, in talking to a lot of clients and also prospective clients, talking to people in the industry when it comes to family offices, one thing that, well, you know, I think it's funny, someone will say, if you've met one family office, it means you've met one family office, because most family offices are all run so differently that there's very little you can pick up as sort of common thread between each person's single family office because they kind of take on the character of the family. But one thing I did notice that was consistent across talking to people, whether they use single family office services or multifamily office services, is that they like living in a balance sheet, right? Like, I think for so long in a wealth management relationship, you're taught to live in brokerage statements, you live in Excel spreadsheets, you live in performance reports. But the only way to really do this right is to live kind of at the 30,000 foot level and be looking at a comprehensive view of all of your assets. And then I was listening to Ray Dalio kind of give this talk and talking about his family office. And he said, you know, I just look at the variances. I say, okay, if I'm looking at this month to month, I'm looking at it quarter to quarter, I'm looking at it year over year, I look for where the variances are. And then I can dive into the statements, the performance reports, you know, the activity, et cetera. And so that's where I think, you know, that's the big linchpin that kind of puts all of this together. Do you see that as well, Rebecca?
Absolutely. The balance sheet makes it more real for clients. They can understand it more, right? When they see something show up, they're like, oh yeah, you know, I did spend that, or that is the trip that we've booked, something like that, where it's more tangible and it affects their daily lives, and they just, it's more impactful than, you know, when you start talking about ROI or anything like that. It's a little bit more foreign to some of the clients, not saying that's every client, but it is just more tangible.
Well, I agree with you. And I would just add that, you know, talking about the ROI of a specific investment out of context really doesn't add anything, right? So if this one specific investment did well or didn't do well, how does that fit actually into the context of the totality? If it's a very small percentage, maybe we look at why, but it doesn't necessarily impact the big picture as much as something more global. And so I think, like you said, the balance sheet really helps you get kind of that full view. The other topic I really wanted to touch on today was the amazing service that we offer on the philanthropic side. So, you know, another evolution that we've seen as our clients kind of, as their financial and wealth grow, their financial complexity and their wealth grows, is, you know, as part of the enhanced estate and tax planning we do, there's complexity around philanthropy. And what's wonderful is that I would say 99.9% of our clients are unbelievably philanthropic. They feel incredibly lucky that they've been as successful as they've been, and they feel an immense desire and a warmth in their hearts, you know, to give back and have the ability to give back. And so, you know, where we may have started off with a client with a donor advised fund or, you know, something along those lines, we've morphed into private foundations in a lot of cases, et cetera. And one of the things that was so nice to hear from the family office services team at Rockefeller is that we actually offer very, very strong philanthropic advisory services and also foundation administration. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that that's also a great area for people to hear about.
Yeah, I love this offering. I think it aligns so nicely with so many of our clients because the Rockefeller name is synonymous with philanthropy. That's really what they are known for to this day. And so we have to have a really strong offering. So I'm going to quote our colleague, Adrian Hart. You know, what we try and do is help take giving from a vision to reality. We manage the complexities of philanthropy so our clients can focus on creating legacies with impact. She says that so beautifully, and that is what we try to do in all areas of our offering, whether it's helping guide the clients and really providing that over that advisory and that strategy to have a choice between, do I need a private foundation? Is it more of a DAF? Is it both, right? She always gives strategy, and Adrian Hart leads that up for us. Or is it taking that and then saying, okay, we are going to go do and set up a private foundation, or we already have one. But to your point, Michael, that you said earlier, you know, clients can spend their time better served doing what they do best and leaving a lot of this administration to us, where we've been doing this for so long. And so that's what we try and do with our private foundation administration offering. It's taking off, hey, you know, you don't have to track to the 5% rule. You don't have to put the budget together. You don't have to take the minutes on an annual basis and provide them to the IRS. All of those things we do for you, and our team has been doing for the Rockefeller family. So I just love this service because it brings the best of both worlds. Clients like yours that are philanthropically minded, along with the family and, you know, truly their DNA, which is philanthropy.
That's great. So we're almost at time. I love to keep these to about 30 minutes because I know that that's it's a sweet spot for our listeners. So I think this has been a great start to our conversation about family office services. I hope that our listeners have a clearer picture as to how a full suite of family office services combined with best-in-class investment advisory and estate and tax planning can literally handle all aspects of a family's financial life. Again, sitting in that middle and being the CEO of, you know, the Smith Family Inc., these services are so crucial to be able to let you do that. And it's really a wonderful way to manage yourself, you know, in these next phases of life, because again, it's nice to feel like you're making decisions thoughtfully and, you know, with all the information at hand. And so I know that in our next episode, we're going to share some examples of how our family office services are working for clients. But until then, Rebecca, Emery, and April, thanks again for being here, and we'll see you all in the next episode.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of Taking the Complex and Making It Simple, the Merlin Wealth Management Educational Podcast. For more information on Merlin Wealth Management, please visit our website at rcm.rocco.com/Merlin. Please stay tuned for an important legal disclaimer. This recording is provided for informational purposes only and is not an offer to buy or sell or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any security or to participate in any investment strategy and should not be interpreted to constitute a recommendation with respect to any security or investment plan. The views and opinions expressed are solely those of the presenters as of the date of this recording, may not be current, and are subject to change and are general in nature. Rockefeller Capital Management has no obligation to provide any updates or changes. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily those of Rockefeller Capital Management and may differ from the views and opinions of other departments or divisions of Rockefeller Capital Management and its affiliates. Rockefeller Capital Management is not providing any financial, economic, legal, accounting, or tax advice or recommendations in this podcast. The information is not individualized. You should review any planned financial transactions or arrangement that may have tax, accounting, or legal implications with your personal professional advisors. Rockefeller Capital Management does not guarantee the accuracy or reliability of the information provided in this podcast, and any liability, therefore, including in respect of direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage, is expressly disclaimed. No investment strategy can guarantee profit or protection from loss. Future results may vary substantially from past performance. Investing involves risk, including a risk of loss. This recording may not be copied, reproduced, or distributed in whole or in part for any purpose without prior written consent. Rockefeller Capital Management is the marketing name of Rockefeller Capital Management LP and its affiliates. Merlin Wealth Management is part of Rockefeller Financial LLC, a broker-dealer and investment advisor duly registered with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, member Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and Securities Investor Protection Corporation. The registrations and memberships mentioned in no way imply the SEC has endorsed the entities, products, or services discussed herein. Additional information is available upon request.